Again, it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce Reverend Saheed Muhammad from, see if I got this right, Village 44, Village 44 Nazarene Church. And that's something we had to get used to down there. Not all villages have a name. Some of them just have a number. So, Saheed, if you'd come and share with us. I would like to also announce that following the second service, we will be having a fellowship meal down in the fellowship hall. You're all welcome to do that. And also, the children are with us this morning, but during the next service, they're going to also be presenting a gift to Pastor Saheed for the work in Guyana. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Scott. We are glad that your team has been going to Guyana, and we want to thank you very much for your support, for the work that you're doing, not only in Guyana, but I want to see in Honduras and Belize and all those places that you've been, because God's work is our work. And whether you go to Guyana or whether you go to Belize or whether you go to Honduras or whichever part, Brazil, it is the Lord's work. It's our business. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the professor in school who one day stood before his class and he had a big jar that was sitting there. And he took some tennis ball and he began to put it into that jar until no more could fit. And then he said to the class, is this jar filled? And everybody said, yes, sir. And then he took a bag of pebbles and began to throw it in between those big tennis balls. And as he threw them one by one, they began to fill those cracks and creases between the tennis ball until no more could fit. And he looked at the class again and he said, class, can you tell me if this jar is filled? And they said, yes, sir. So he pulled out a bag with sand and he poured it into that jar. And as he poured it into the jar, the tiny grains of sand begin to sink between the tennis balls and the tiny pebbles. And now no more sand could fit. And he looked at the class and he said, now, look at this jar now and tell me, is it filled? And he said, surely, sir, it's filled now. So he pulled out two bottles of water and he poured it into the jar until the water began to flow over. And he said, our lives are like that. He said, if we are to take the things that matter, the big things, and fill our lives, then definitely our lives will take on greater meaning. He said, but if we were to take water first and put it into our life like in the jar, and fill the jar with water and then try to fill it with sand and try to fill it with pebbles and then try to put in the tennis balls, definitely those balls wouldn't fit in there. So what we need to do is to focus on the most important things in our lives. And for us this morning, I want you to know, for you and I, the most important thing, the thing that we've been created for, is to serve God. And next to God is our family. And so many different things, other things are going to fall into place. Sometimes we try to put, and we are so busy focusing on minor things that we lose sight of what is important and what matters most. I want to first of all to say to you this morning, to urge you that we concentrate, pay attention to the things that are important, that matters most. And it was Jesus himself who said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added
unto us. There are many people who wander through life as though it were a market. We browse through the stalls. We keep looking, trying to find something that we might. I look around the streets as we pass by, and there were so many yard sales going on. I can assure you that in our lifetime, we will have gathered lots of things that we have no need for. And we would have done many things that we did not need to do. And I can also assure you that there were times in our lives when there were things that we should have done that we didn't do. I want to talk to you this morning about life's purpose on earth. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, from verse 14 to 30, we read the story of the talents. What are you doing with your life? Are you aware that every man has a mission? That every single one of us have been called to work for God? I want to say this at this point in time, and I'll say it repeated later on for emphasis. Some of us are one talented people. In that story, as we will read, you're going to find that Jesus had given talents to different people. Three sets of people, in fact. And the last set only received one talent. Or the last person. I don't know how many talents you have. I know that there was a little projection on the screen that showed a number of people that have been involved in work and witness team. And that's good. That's extremely important. And we should all be involved in the ministry of the Lord. But how many of us have been hiding our talents or have not been utilizing our talents because we feel that, you know what, there are others who are more talented than I am. And so it is not, I am not that important. I can't do much. I can't do anything for that matter. Or I've never tried doing anything because I am the least talented in the church. Jesus said to the two former set of people that had received the talents, well done. To the last set, he did not say that because they did not use their talent. I want to ask you first as I get into this message, have you been using your one talent, if you're a one talented person, the little that you have? Our mission can be asserted. We can know for sure what God wants with us. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 tells us, for Ezra had sought, he seek the will of the Lord. And he did it. And then he taught in Israel the statutes and commandments of the Lord. If you want to be in the center of God's will, the first thing that you have to realize is that, hey, I got to seek what is God's will for my life. Nobody's going to come and tell me that, well, like, I am certain that over the years there have been many presentations on work and witness. There have been many presentations on doing ministry within your own community and everything else. But nobody's going to come to you and say, hey, you need to do this. You have to know for certain. Ezra made up his mind, was determined. He wanted to find out what was God's will for his life. He made that special effort. He said, well, hey, I am this person and I need to know what God wanted with me. When Reverend John became a Christian, and years after, as he served the Lord, and then he was not content with just going to church. He was not content with just coming up sometime and just saying a few words. He was not content with just saying, well, okay, it's good to be here and I give a testimony or give an offering or do it. Just, no, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I've been there in the classes where we were taught in the ministerial studies. Then he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when he accepted the call to minister, I think that was when he found peace. He would have mentioned to you earlier that in Guyanese standard, he is fairly well off. He did not need to be doing anything else. And he has been ministering the church for a number of years now and has done it voluntarily. But he wanted to know what was God's will for my life. Ezra sought the same thing. And then when you find God's will for your life, or you recognize that this is what God wants me to do, well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? I have been able to minister over the years to a number of people. And many would tell you, Pastor, I wish I had done this. I wish I had gone to Bible college. I wish I had gone, maybe to some university or do something else. They did not realize at the time that they were walking out of God's will. So the first thing we have to do is to ensure that we are within the will of God. That we know what God wants with us. How many of you do this morning? How many of you are aware of what is God's plan for your life? We cannot be browsing through the market. We cannot just be walking by. You know, some people, like we go to a game of cricket and we sit down in the stand and we just watch. And some people would applaud, some people would comment and say that's well done. And there's still others who would say, I can do better than that. Or I wish he had done this instead of that. People are like that everywhere you go. But the fact remains, is who will get up from where you are and go and do what needs to be done? Who will take the challenge? The book of Joel and the book of Isaiah in particular, as the Lord showed Isaiah that great vision that morning as he knelt in the temple, and God showed him a vision of heaven opening before him. He saw the holiness of God. He saw the splendor, the glory, the majesty of God. And he cried out for who he was. He cried out in desperation. And when all was done and God, the Lord had cleansed him, and then the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I love the words of Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me into my schools. Send me into my workplaces. Send me into Honduras and Guyana. Send me into the sporting arena. Send me wherever. Will you be able to say that this morning? We need to realize, hey, God has a purpose. In those, in the scripture that I outlined, that I talk about in Matthew chapter 25, in the story of the talents, that just did not came there for a story. It came to bring us to an awareness that God has a plan and a purpose for every single person. Not just for the board of the church, not just for the leaders of the church, not just for the mission department, not just for the leaders of the NYI, not just for the Sunday school teachers, but for every single person. God has a plan and a purpose. We were not created just to live. We are beyond that stage. We are not animals. Eat, grow, reproduce, die. No. God created us and placed us upon this earth for a purpose. And we need to ascertain that purpose. And then when we know what that purpose is, then we can say, Lord, help me to do it. Our mission can be accomplished. It's not only that our mission, we have a mission and we can know what that mission is, but our mission can be accomplished. Have you accomplished your mission in life? If the Lord is to come today and say, well, today is your day to go home, He's calling you home. We heard a tragic news just the other day. One of our ministers, he just about 40 years of age, a young man in the prime of his ministry. He just got sick and was taken to the hospital. We got to the airport and was coming out of this airport in JFK. And then there was that message on the phone that he had passed away. Nobody expected that. Life is uncertain. But once we are here, we must realize that the Lord has placed us here with a purpose. He has given to each one of us everything. Now, just if you can reflect and you can look back and try to think about your own life, God has given you all that you need to do what He wants you to do. Whatever that mission is, whatever that will of God is for your life, He has already given you that. The ability to accomplish that which He wants you to do. Jesus set the example for us. All of us realize that, hey, upon the cross, He hung there and He said three words to let us know that He did what God wanted Him to do. It is finished. Paul followed in like manner. He said, I have finished my course. I know for certain that none of us here this morning would be able to speak like Paul and to say, well, hey, I have finished my course. Take what God has given you. You know, life is like a threefold arena. Life is made up of like three things for us that will make us who we are. We take what God has given us. We make our lives into what God wants it to be. And then we give our lives for what God wanted to be given for. Nothing else matter. If we strive to achieve everything that there is in this world, we're going to leave them behind. Take your life, take your talents, take your abilities, take your skills, take your knowledge, take your wisdom, take your strength, take your power, take everything that you have and make it into that being that God created you to be. Sometimes we live in a world where We are so accustomed to what is going on around us, we lose ourselves. You know the story of the farmer who went into the woods and he found the egg of an eagle. Took that egg home and he placed it under a chicken that was sitting. In the process of time, the egg hatched. And that chicken was among the other... That eaglet was among the other little chickens in the yard. And the mother would lead them along and they would go and they would keep scratching the dirt and the eagle would clumsily try to do that. And he grew and grew and grew and get bigger than the other chickens. And then he would run in that little yard space and flap his wing and make to take off. Time on time he would try. And the story says that maybe the other chickens were looking at him and say, hey, what are you trying to do? You're a chicken. This is where you belong. This is your pen. This is your nest. But the instinct was within it, and he would keep flapping his wings and attempt to rise off the ground. And can you hear them? Hey, chicken, what are you trying to do? Are you going to play an eagle? And he just keeps scratching the dust until the day of its death. Never left the chicken pen. But was an eagle. He had all the makeup of an eagle. Could fly, never really took off. Made several attempts. But lived and died as a chicken. And in our society, in our world today, there are many eagles that are living as chickens. Maybe time and again we flap our wings and try to take off and maybe some people down the street or down the road, or some of the, you know, they're always the naysayers. They're always the negative people that sometimes you want to do this. I remember one time I was pastoring a church in Bartica, and we had a young man that was a part of the board. As soon as you come up with an idea, regardless of what that idea is, he would always, "I don't think we can get that done, you know. I think we are too busy for that. I think we don't have the finances for that." He was always a negative person. And we had learned to just bypass him and move on with what got to be done. The mission that God has placed us upon this earth for, whatever God has given us, we have to take it and make it into what he wants it to be, and use it as he would have us use it. I do not like the ending of that parable, because it tells us that that person never entered into the rest of the Lord. Never entered in the blessings of the Lord. Take what God has given you. Make the most of with what you have, and give your life in service for him. Do what God wanted you to do. Sometimes you will just be like the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You might look at the crowd. Even Philip and the other disciples, they were there and they were saying, "Well, what can 5 loaves and 2 fishes do here?" You can look at the what is before you. You can look at the scenery and you can be discouraged. But hey, little is much when God is in it. If Jesus is all you have, Jesus is all you need. Because he has pledged to us all that is needful for our ministry, for our work, for our will, for what God wants to accomplish in us. We have to learn to break free from the lesser things. The eaglet, if he had his own way and did not listen to what was around him and to the naysayers, may have taken off and gone soaring into the skies, high above the world. Tear out yourself, move away from. If we keep dwelling and listening and around negative people, we become negative. We lose our perspective of life. Make sure that you are in control of your own life. Make sure that God has that final say, not people, not situations, not circumstances. As one man say, God can straighten the question mark of your life and make it an exclamation mark. You'd be able to say, from what can I do to wow, it can be done, or it is done. Nehemiah was one of those men who did not heed to what people were saying. It did not matter to him what was going on in the rest of the world. When he heard that the walls of Jericho was broken down and in walls of Jerusalem were broken down and in ruins, when he heard that the city of his God was in a state where it was in disrepair and needed work, the Bible says Nehemiah was so saddened by that news. You know, I wish that people, and people of the church in particular, can get to the place that when we see work for the kingdom of God, we must be excited about it. And when we see things are not going the way God would have it done, then we can begin to try the best to see that it can be done. Nehemiah risked his life in presenting himself before the king as someone who was sad. Remember, he was the king's cupbearer. And as the king, you know, you always hear this saying, little saying, service with a smile. Nehemiah stood before the king and he did not have a smile. He could have been killed that day. But prayer is a powerful thing. Esther, another woman of faith, presented herself to the king and she could have been killed that day. But they did not mind what would have, you know, there is more to our life than just taking. Because life is, like I said, for the giving. If I perish, I perish, she said. But she did not mind. She was going to do what needs to be done. And the Bible tells us when Nehemiah finally stood before the king and everything was good, he went to Jerusalem to work on that wall, to rebuild that wall. And as they were working, now I want you to know that whatever you're doing for God, they're going to be enemies, they're going to be troubles, they're going to be trials, they're going to be situations, they're going to try to get you down. Nehemiah was on the wall working with the people when enemies came to them and in many different ways tried to stop them from doing what needs to be done. How many times in our own lives, in our own ministry, in our own work, when we want to do something good, sometimes some well-meaning people can affect our lives too, affect our ministry, affect our work. And these three men came to Nehemiah, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom. At one time they say, come down from the wall and let us talk. I want to meet with you. I want to discuss these things with you. I like the words of Nehemiah. Don't you like those words that he said? Why should I come down and let the work cease? If you find God's will for your life, there is no time to stop working. Because Jesus himself said, the night cometh when no man can work. In the parable of the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 1 talent, this one man went and hid his talent and did not use it for the glory of God. Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer in a strange land. But as far as God was concerned, as far as Nehemiah was concerned, it is God's will for me to go there and get the wall built or rebuilt or repaired. And it did not matter. The king's job is not so important. And when we pray about things, beloved, I want you to know the power of prayer is really amazing. There is nothing in this world can beat prayer. Even the kings are subjected to prayers. Nehemiah stood before the king. When he prayed, God caused the heart of the king to fall in line with his will for Nehemiah's life. Ezra stood before the king. She had called for the people to fast and to pray. And they prayed. And when she stood before the king himself was moved. In every situation, Daniel in the lion's den, the king fasted that night. The king himself didn't know what, and Daniel prayed. Nothing in this world can beat prayer. And so when we are going through our difficult times, when we are going through our trial, when we face temptations and trials, when we face hardships, don't forget that you're serving a God who is able to see you through. Will take you from where you are into what he wants you to do. That you might be a clerk, you might be a doctor, you might be a lawyer, you might be a student, but that's just your part-time job. That's just your... Nehemiah was a king's cupbearer. That was just his part-time job. He had a mission to accomplish. And God will help you to accomplish that mission. Are you doing your best? Our talents may be few. Or just one. But if you do your best, then God will honor you for doing your best. That is what matters. Nothing less would be acceptable, and nothing more could be asked than your best. The same reward that the one who had gained 5 more and the one who had gained 10 more, their reward were the same. You look at the scripture, they tell you that their reward were the same. The reward of the minister and the reward of the person who collects the offering or the person who cleans the church, I want you to know that we will all make it to heaven. We have to recognize that, hey, nothing less than our best would be acceptable to God. God does not give harvest to idle men. I repeat that. God does not give harvest to idle men. If you would prosper in your work for Jesus, let it be heart work. Let it be from the heart. Let it be what God wanted to be. Who are the most useful people in the church? Those who give their heart to the service. Those who say, Lord, take my life and make it into what you want it to be. Start where you are. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Recognize the potential that you have within you. Like the eaglet, you have been specially made by God. Like the eaglet, you have all that is needed to soar above the world. Don't scratch the dust. Don't stay in the mess all the time. Get out. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's the reward. The state of the blessed is a state of joy. The joy of the Lord is their strength, is what they will receive. For the punishment of the one who did not do what he's supposed to do, take therefore the talent from him. He is cast into outer darkness. If you will accomplish what God will is for your life today, I can assure you that he will say to you, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Every man has his mission. Your mission can be ascertained, and your mission can be accomplished if you walk in the will of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Over back to Brother Scott.